We've been in a teaching series in Romans. Romans is a book written by a man named Paul. Paul is a man who had a real encounter with God on a road. Paul was a man who hated Christians. Paul was a man who hated the message of Jesus. Paul was a man who was very legalistic in his Jewish faith. He knew legalism very well. He knew rules. And this Jesus thing comes around, and Jesus is teaching grace, Jesus is teaching love, Jesus is teaching mercy. And Paul wasn't having it. Paul wasn't hearing it. Paul was at many of these Christians' executions. Paul was a man who would actually go and beat these Christians himself and take them into jails and jail them for this heresy that they taught, that was this message, this good news, this testimony that Lauren was asking us to teach others, to tell others last week. So for that very testimony, they were beaten and imprisoned, and people didn't like it. Paul didn't like it. So he took it upon himself until he had this real encounter with Jesus, and Jesus shook up his world so much that he became a Jesus follower. He became someone who loved people and loved the cause of Christ. So Paul is writing this letter then to this church in Rome. And this church in Rome is filled with Jewish people, and it's filled with Gentile people, which is anybody that's not Jewish, okay? That's probably most of us in this room. Last time I said that, there was a Jewish woman that raised her hand. I'm like, crap. And I said, we do have a Jew person here. I don't know, some things sound better in your head and Jew person. I don't even know where that came from. I apologize profusely. Yeah, it was amazing. So, most of us are Gentiles. Well, Paul is addressing both of these populations within Rome, in this Roman church. And he, in chapter 10 that you were just being taught through Lauren, was talking about this idea of this testimony, this going out and teaching people, this going out, and how will people know anything about Jesus if everybody just stays silent and they're not out teaching? Well, alongside of that, after you get out of Romans 10, the end of Romans 10, and even the first 10 chapters in Romans 11, you start seeing Paul saying, well, look, this cause, this message has been taught to the Israelites from the beginning. And they rejected God. They rejected it. They start quoting their old prophets of Moses. Moses said, look, these people, they ain't going to get it. They're stupid. Here's God right in front of them, and they're not going to get it. And so it talks about this rejection of the Israelites, and it talks about God's response to that is, okay, Israelites, you're going to reject me so much, I'm going to go after somebody that will love me. And that's everybody else. That's you. That's me. And that's where we pick up in the story. This morning there is a ton of scripture. I'm going to read it all. I always want to shy away from that, but there's something in the back of my mind that tells me most of us in this room, this is the only scripture you give yourself on a weekly basis. We've got to get deeper than that, friends. We've got to get more than that, friends. If you're not reading, if you're not hearing what God has to say through His Word, you're starving yourself to death. So that being said, there's Bibles out there for free. We want you to take Bibles if you don't have a Bible. If you are too timid to do that, or those Bibles don't look pretty, whatever your reason is, download it on your phone, and then you'll have it with you all the time, and it's great. So we're going to start reading, and we're in Romans 11 through 36, and I'm going to read the entirety. I'm going to read it out of the Message, because I feel that it unpacks these concepts of what God's trying to say to us and what Paul's words are trying to say to us best. So remember, these Israelites, they have rejected God. They have rejected the teachings, and Paul comes in and says this. The next question is then, are they down for the count? They, meaning the Israelite people. Are they out of this for good? And the answer is a clear cut, no. Ironically, when they walked out, they left the door open and the outsiders walked in. That's you, friends. We are the outsiders. We walked right in. But the next thing you know, the Jews were starting to wonder if perhaps they walked out on a good thing. Now, if their leaving triggered this whole worldwide coming of non-Jewish outsiders to God's kingdom, just imagine the effect of their coming back. What a homecoming. But I don't want to go on about them. It's you, the outsiders, that I'm concerned with now, because my personal assignment is focused on the so-called outsiders. I make as much of this as I can when I'm among my Israelite kin, that the so-called insiders, hoping they'll realize what they're missing and want to get in on what God is doing. If their falling out initiated this worldwide coming together, their recovery is going to set off something even better. Mass homecoming. If the first thing the Jews did, even though it was wrong for them, turned out for your good, just think what's going to happen when they get it right. Behold, I love those scriptures. Behind and underneath all this, there is a holy, God-planted, God-tended root. If the primary root of the tree is holy, there's bound to be some holy fruit. Some of these trees' branches were pruned off, and you wild olive shoots were grafted in. That's you outsiders. That's us outsiders. We are wild olive shoots. We're grafted in. Yet the fact that you are now fed by that rich and holy root gives you no cause to crow over the pruned branches. Remember, you aren't feeding the root. The root is feeding you. Is there any tree people here? Sounds like a Lord of the Rings thing, doesn't it? Are there any tree hobbits people here? Groot. Has anybody ever grafted anything into a plant or grafted a plant onto a plant? Good. Neither have I. But the reason for the grafting, the reason for these wild olive shoots is they cut these dead branches off these olive trees. They take these dead branches and these wild olive shoots, they kind of take the best of both trees and they try to combine them into this hybrid super tree. And so they graft this little sapling onto this tree that's an actual grove tree that they would grab olives from. And they would take this wild tree, and what happens then is you start getting the best characteristics of both. The wild trees don't necessarily have the strongest roots, but a grove tree does. Wild olives can actually produce better olives and better fruits, so you start seeing then this tree become a hybrid. You start seeing this tree become something that, you know, maybe it should have always been. You start seeing these things come together and you see it benefit this tree. You see it benefit this tree. Some trees have very desirable fruit characteristics and weak roots. Others have strong roots but small or no fruit. But grafting can combine the strong roots and the good fruit into the same tree. In addition, some rootstocks increase disease resistance or make the tree better able to survive. In order to be successful, the two varieties must be compatible, meaning the cambium or growth tissue under the bark must fuse together. This under the bark, it's not talking about this outside, how you look, how you appear to other people, right? I lived a good long while thinking as long as I held up appearances with Jesus and other people, that was good enough. That costume change was good enough. As long as I smiled good and I knew the right lingo and I knew the right words, somehow that was the it. But it's not. What's take place underneath, it's this under the bark stuff. It's this heart stuff, this changing, this being fed by something greater than myself, this being fed by something greater than the world around me, but being fed by God and this meshing of His ways that slowly become my ways. You see where this is going? Let's keep reading. It's certainly possible to say other branches were pruned so that I could be grafted in, these dead branches, these branches that weren't producing any fruit. Well and good. But they were pruned because they were dead wood, no longer connected by belief and commitment to the root. The only reason you're on the tree is because your graft took when you believed, and because you're connected to that belief nurturing root. So don't get cocky and strut your branch. Be humble and mindful of the root that keeps you lithe and green. If God didn't think twice about taking pruning shears to the natural branches, meaning the Israelites, he didn't think twice about cutting them off when they rejected him. Why would he hesitate over you? He wouldn't give it a second thought. Make sure you stay alert to these qualities of gentle kindness and ruthless severity that exists side by side in God. We don't like to talk about ruthless severity when it comes to God, right? We want his hugs. We want his love. We want the candy that he has in his pocket, right? Is that just me? I like candy. Yeah. We want this gentle God, but the truth is God deals with us in severe ways. It talks about him cutting off branches that no longer produce fruit, that no longer are actually living in right being with God, so he cuts them off and says, you're no longer a part of this thing. You're no longer a part of me. And then it makes way for this wild olive tree graft, which is us. It makes way for us. But he says, don't get cocky in that. Remember what you're being a part of. Remember what you're coming into. Remember who God is. Remember that it's because of God that you are even able to do these things. Don't get cocky. I know some of us, I'm not even going to say us, I'm going to say me, okay? I am very judgmental to other Christians. Anybody else? Show of hands. I'm it. Okay. No, I saw some over here. I'm very judgmental towards other Christians. I'm very judgmental towards other Christians that fail in living in right being with Jesus. To the point where it becomes a cockiness thing. My wife and I were discussing some things about other people, because we just like to gossip. We were discussing some things, and we were discussing some stuff that was going on, and I got on this awesome high horse Jesus rant. And my wife, being the subtle person that she is, said, whoa, you need to check yourself. You need to watch your pride. These people are trying hard. These people are doing all that they can to survive in this way. And if it takes them a little longer to get where you're at, why is that wrong? Why is that bad? Why is that? And it doesn't always happen within me, but it does come out. And so when I started reading this cockiness, like, well, we have God and you don't, I'm like, that doesn't apply to me. Oh, crap. It really does. It applies to me because as I see people fall away, as I see people get burned by life, as I see people not live as Jesus called them to live, I have this error sometimes that creeps up within me and says, well, if they just get it, why can't they get it like I get it? Because you get it so well, Adam. No. So this cockiness, Paul reminds us, hey, you know what? Don't be cocky. Remember who God is and who you are within God. He goes on to say, make sure you stay alert to these qualities of gentle kindness and ruthless severity that exist side by side in God. Ruthless with dead wood, gentle with the grafted shoot, but don't presume this gentleness. The moment you become dead wood, you're gone. And don't get feeling superior to those pruned branches down on the ground. If they don't persist in remaining dead wood, they could very well get grafted back in. God can do that. He can perform miracle grafts. Why, if he could graft you, branches cut from a tree out in the wild into an orchard tree, he certainly isn't going to have any trouble grafting branches back into the tree they grew from in the first place. Just be glad you're in the tree and hope for the best for the others. This is talking to me. This is talking to my heart. This is talking to my spirit. Hope for the best for others. And I hope you, Jesus lovers, you wild branches that have been grafted in, you that have said yes to Jesus, you that have lived life with people, what all of this amounts to in my world is hope. What all of this amounts to is hope. Because hope that these dead branches, it's not even branches that are living. They're not cutting them off a living tree. This is all stuff that God has cut off and said, you know what, these are dead. They're not producing anything. They have a chance of coming back. They have a chance of coming back. So what does that look like as we live life with those dead branches? Christians are good at eating their own. A lot of times what we do with those dead branches is we pile them up on a burn pile and just set fire to it. And we scorch them and we burn them. And then they say, oh, this is what Jesus is like. And then you never see them come back around. You never see them start producing fruit again. You see them hold bitterness and anger towards the church. And so people, wild roots, wild shoots, listen to me. How do you live life with these dead branches now? Are you cocky? Are you arrogant? Are you kicking them to the curb? I'm talking to myself. Are you living life with them? Are you being Jesus to them? They have a chance at coming back. And if that doesn't scream hope, I don't know what does. Some of you are those dead branches today. I've counseled with some of you, and some of you have said, you know what? I got thrown on the burn pile, and churches just chewed me up when I had a moral failure or when I failed somehow, some way. And I don't believe in God as a result of externals, the things that people have done. But yet, I do believe in God, kind of. I know something exists. I know there's something greater than myself. I know there's something, Adam, help me. And I don't know how to help necessarily other than just to live like Jesus would. To gather up those dead wood people. To continue to speak life back into them. To continue to speak hope back into them. You know what? You've been gone for a while. You've been away. You've been doing your own dead branch thing. But hey, you can come right back. You do realize that door is just open this whole time, right? But you have to make this conscious choice. You have to make this conscious decision. You will do that. You will be that for these dead branches. And that's a lifestyle. It's not easy because it's full of disappointment. But you know what? When I experience that, when I'm a dead branch and I experience that grace, that's God. That's God. Let's keep reading. I want to lay all this out on the table as clearly as I can, friends. This is complicated. It would be easy to misinterpret what's going on and arrogantly assume that you're royalty and they're just rabble out on their ears for good. But that's not it at all. This hardness on the part of the insider, Israel, toward God is temporary. Its effect is to open things up to all outsiders, everybody. This isn't race restricted. If you're a racist in the room, please come speak to me afterwards. I'll help you with that. This isn't money. This isn't whether you look good on the outside. This isn't whether you actually look good on the inside. This is open to everybody. This is open to anybody, anything, any person. And if you would look at people and negate that within them, you need to check yourself. You need to check yourself. This is open to everybody. This hardness on the part of the insider Israel toward God is temporary. Its effect is to open things up to all outsiders so that we end up with a full house. God wants everybody to be saved, but not everybody will, if you remember from a few weeks back. Its effects to open things up to all the outsiders so that we end up with a full house. Before it's all over, there will be a complete
Israel. As it is written, a champion will stride down from the mountain of Zion. He'll clean house in Jacob. And this is my commitment to my people, removal of their sins. That's Jesus. From your point of view, as you hear and embrace the good news of the message, it looks like the Jews are God's enemies. But looked at from the long-range perspective of God's overall purpose, they remain God's oldest friends. God's gifts and God's call are under full warranty, never canceled, never rescinded. There was a time when not so long ago you were on the outs with God, you wild shoots. But then the Jews slammed the door on him and things opened up for you. Now they are on the outs. But with the door held wide open for you, they have a way back in. In one way or another, God makes sure that we all experience what it means to be outside so that he can personally open the door and welcome us back in. Anybody experience that outside? That's anybody that didn't have Jesus and then did, right? He goes on to say, have you ever come up on anything quite like this extravagant generosity of God, this deep, deep wisdom? It's way over our heads. We'll never figure it out. Is there anyone around who can explain God, anyone smart enough to tell him what to do, anyone who has done him such a huge favor that God has to ask his advice? Pay attention to this. Everything comes from him. Everything happens through him. Everything ends up in him. Always glory, always praise. Yes, yes, yes. Wild shoots, did you catch it? Dead branches, did you catch it? It's kind of hard to try to unpack Paul's words when he speaks so plainly and so eloquently. Let me tell you what it means. If you didn't catch the generosity of God, if you didn't catch the hope for everybody in this room, no matter where you're sitting, no matter what crap is in your life right now, if you didn't catch the hope, I can read it again. If you didn't catch the call to be a person who sees this hope and experiences this hope and lives this hope out so that dead branches would come back to life and be grafted in, I can read it again. If you didn't catch that you, Jesus lovers, you wild shoots that have been grafted in, are fed by the root and nothing else. Nothing else, not things from the outside, but through God. He dictates what you do. He infuses with your very being, your very soul. If that's not happening for you, you need to start asking God some questions. You need to start looking at your life and say, God, where am I in wrong being with you? He will answer, but you got to be ready. This is hope for us. This is hope for anybody you work with. This is hope for your neighbor. This is hope for your family. This is hope for your sons and daughters. This is hope for the world. Will you respond to it? Will you respond to that hope? Will you be a part of that hope? Will you no longer be on the outside of it, but be on the inside? Every time I go and I speak at church planting conferences, we are a church plant that will be nine years old in September. Okay? We're young. We're a baby. We make a lot of mistakes, and we do some things right, too. But anytime I go and I talk about the wild shoots that we get to hang out with here at Whitewater, which is you, people are on the edge of their seats to hear about the grace of God, to hear about people willing to live life with these wild shoots, to hear about these people willing to go to these Gentile people and speak with them just like Paul did, and to give them the hope, and to live life with them, and to be hope even when it's so dark they can't even see the hope. People are on the edge of their seats, and you guys are on the edge of your seats too when you hear about these stories from here. It's not just me. It's not just the leadership here that partakes in that. You need to partake in that. You need to be a part of that. You need to be living this out. Do you understand that? You can go in the wilderness and find these shoots and live life with them. It's called Laramie. It's called Wyotech. It's called UDub. It's called Harvest. It's called Huron, South Dakota. Wherever you're at, you can be a part of that. You should be a part of that because that's what God's called you to. So if you walk out of here not feeling the hope, come talk to me, okay? Come talk to Craig. Come talk to anybody that you saw standing on the stage this morning. If you are feeling the hope, come talk to me. Come talk to anybody on the stage. Go talk to Christine out in the back. She's got a sweet new haircut she wants to show you. Yeah. There's hope for us, friends. And it all comes from God. It all comes from His grace. It all comes from His mercy. Let's respond to it this morning. God, everything comes from You. Everything happens through You. Everything ends up in You. And because You are so good, and because You are so gracious, and because You are so loving, and because You are so fierce, God, You've opened that up to us. You've turned what looks like a bad thing, and these Israelites turning their back on You and just rejecting You, into something that saved the entire world, into something that just opened the door for every single one of us to respond to who You are, what You are, and to live in right being with You. So God, this morning, Holy Spirit, this morning, speak to where I can't in these people's hearts. Speak thoughts into people's minds that make sense this morning. Speak Your life. Speak Your desire to have them grafted into You and what You do. God, remove arrogance, remove haughtiness, remove anything that makes us proud and demeans other people when it comes to kingdom life. Replace that with a sense of humility, replace that with a sense of love, replace that with eyes that can see people for who we once were, who we still at times can be. Grow our grace and compassion in that. Help us look at people and think the best of people. Help us look at people and say, it's not too late for You to come back. Help us look at people and say, You were meant to house the fullness of Jesus. Give us eyes to see people like that. Holy Spirit, speak where I can't. Do what I can't. May we own what You came to give us. May we be who You've called us to be. Father, may we ever be looking at our lives to figure out where we are in wrong being with You. Change us from the inside out. It's in Your name we thank You for all the hope that You bring. Everybody said, Amen.